So our scripture reading for today is Psalm 51, and it's in the New Living Translation, so it will be on the overhead there, but it's different than the one that's in the Pew Bible. Psalm 51, "Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you, and you alone, have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God, who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. Look with favor on Zion and help her rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with sacrifices offered in the right spirit, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls again will be sacrificed on your altar." This is God's word.
Thanks, Dave. I mentioned to you a few weeks ago about a book by Robert Munger called My Heart, Christ's Home. It carries with it some of what we are considering in this sermon series on home building. Munger writes, "After Christ entered my heart, and in the joy of this new relationship, I said to him, 'Lord, I want this heart of mine to be yours. I want to have you settle down here and be perfectly at home. Everything I have belongs to you. Let me show you around and introduce you to the various features of the home that you may be more comfortable and that we may have a fuller fellowship together.'" He writes then about how Jesus settles down into the various rooms of his house: the living room, the dining room, the library, the workroom, the recreation room. Well, this morning I want to read to you what he writes about the hall closet. This is what Munger says. "There is just one more matter that I might share with you. One day I found him waiting for me at the door. An arresting look was in his eye. As I entered, he said to me, 'There's a peculiar odor in the house. There is something dead around here. It's upstairs. I think it's in the hall closet.' As soon as he said this, I knew what he was talking about. Yes, there was a small closet up there on the landing, just a few feet square. And in that closet, behind lock and key, I had one or two little personal things that I did not want anyone to know about, and certainly I did not want Christ to see them. I knew they were dead and rotting things left over from the old life. And yet I loved them, and I wanted them so for myself that I was afraid to admit they were there. Reluctantly, I went up with him, and as we mounted the stairs, the odor became stronger and stronger. He pointed at the door. 'It's in there. Some dead thing.' I was angry. That's the only way I can put it. I had given him access to the library, the dining room, the living room, the workroom, the playroom, and now he was asking me about a little 2x4 closet? I said to myself, 'This is too much. I am not going to give him the key.' Well, he said, reading my thoughts, if you think I'm going to stay up here on the second floor with this odor, you are mistaken. I will take my bed out on the back porch. I'm certainly not going to put up with that. Then I saw him start down the stairs. When you've come to know and love Christ, the worst thing that can happen is to sense his fellowship retreating from you. I had to surrender. I'll give you the key, I said sadly. But you'll have to open the closet and clean it out. I haven't the strength to do it. I know, he said. I know you haven't. Just give me the key. Just authorize me to take care of that closet, and I will. So with trembling fingers, I passed the key to him. He took it from my hand, walked over to the door, opened it, entered it, took out all the putrefying stuff that was rotting there, and threw it away. Then he cleaned the closet, painted it, and fixed it up. Oh, what victory and release to have those dead things out of my life. In building a home for God, where we are rooted and grounded in love, every part of us needs to be brought to Christ. Every aspect is crucial for holiness. Kevin made me this little closet. Isn't that great? It even has a little coat hanger. But you'll notice this closet is empty. Not like what Munger's story is. And I think if you think about our lives, we probably know our closets are not empty. There are things that we don't want anyone to know about. In your bulletin, as Dave mentioned, there is an insert regarding IJM, the International Justice Mission. We support this mission outreach, and each month we try to keep you updated so that you are aware of what's going on, knowing where our support is going, and then being encouraged to pray for them. A few weeks ago, there was a fundraising dinner for IJM in Vancouver. I wasn't able to attend this year, but I heard about a comment that was made from one of the speakers. The man who was speaking is a senior member of IJM Canada, and he shared about a time when he was on a mission trip to rescue young girls from sex trafficking. But partway through, he recounted a personal experience. When, as a 16-year-old, he was traveling by bus to a youth conference. And at one part of the journey, he accepted a ride from a stranger, an older man, and was sexually assaulted. It was 10 years before anything was said about this to anyone in private. And it was almost 45 years before he received any kind of counseling for an event which shook his entire life. People can feel such shame over these experiences, even when they've had no control over the situation, and can feel very alone in the struggle. But the reality is, 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys are sexually assaulted by the age of 18. When you consider all the people that are sitting here this morning, think of how many people here in this room that applies to. This past week, I participated in a phone roundtable conference call, and one man who was a pastor and now works for an organization called Pure Desire shared how we all come from a place of sexual brokenness. We experience things done to us or things we have done. And he commented on how addressing sexual brokenness is an important part of discipleship, but we tend to ignore it. We stuff it away in the closet because this is an area where we carry such shame. The man with IJM shared how this was an event that shook his life, but because of the shame that he felt, he left it hidden for years. Brown defines shame as the intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love and belonging. Let me read that to you again. The intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love and belonging. But we are deeply loved. Jesus wants to come into these places of sin and brokenness and bring light and healing. This gentleman went on with IJM went on to note how this was just one event in his life, whereas the girls that they were trying to rescue in Kolkata experienced this 30 times a day. I'm so thankful that we support the work of IJM and can make a difference in the lives of these girls. When Jesus comes into our lives, he wants to make us whole, to cleanse, purify, and redeem those hidden parts. Because when they are hidden away, there is a peculiar odor in the house. There's something dead, and it impacts our lives and our relationship with God. We may want to hide things we do others and the things that are done to us, ashamed of our brokenness. But our brokenness does not separate us from God, does not separate us from his love. Keller comments, the love of God enables us to say to ourselves, if someone as all-powerful loves me, delights in me, has gone to infinite lengths to save me, says he will never let me go, and is going to glorify me and make me perfect and take everything bad out of my life, if all that is true, why am I worried about anything? At a minimum, this means joy and a lack of fear and self-consciousness. The passage read by Dave, Psalm 51, is a psalm written to King David in response to a confrontation that he received from the prophet Nathan. Nathan came and confronted David over his adultery with Bathsheba. And as David begins this psalm, he affirms the unfailing love and compassion of God. That is where we need to begin. We are deeply loved by God, not for what we do or what we don't do, but just for who we are. If you remember back to last week, I quoted from Cicero, where he said, the gospel says you are more sinful and flawed than you ever dared believe, yet you're more accepted and loved than you ever dared hope. David knows that because of God's unfailing love, he can come seeking forgiveness. He doesn't need to keep hiding. And David uses three nouns for the word sin, making it comprehensive. Rather than focus just on a specific type of sin, his confession is far-reaching and complete. He sees that his sin proceeds from a long-standing sinful nature, recognizing that sin had long-term, far-reaching effects and influence in his life. He talks about honesty. The Message paraphrases verse 6 saying, what you're after is truth from the inside out. We sang about that this morning. To not hide away in the closet, but opening the door to truth. David exhibits the transparency that God desires for us. When we're vulnerable and open before God, he can transform us. David then seeks cleansing from the effects that will allow restoration of fellowship with God. The word cleanse comes from a Hebrew verb that means to free from the effects of sin. David equates the painful effect of sin with the crushing of bones. Our sin damages us and our relationship with God. And as we open that hall closet door, we're cleansed of sin and its consequences, and it leads to restoration and joy. David points out that it's not sacrifice or works that God desires, but rather it's an inward change, marked by truth, wisdom, and a broken, contrite heart. There is a video that I had the privilege of previewing while it was in the process of being made. And then when the film was completed, I drove to Bellingham in order to see the final version. It's a cinematic retelling of the parable of the prodigal son, intertwined with testimonies of brokenness. It profoundly portrays the truth that shame is not a barrier to God's love, but a bridge to absolute transformation, victory, freedom, and hope. I just want to show you 2.5-minute trailer of this movie. I thought Dan Allender's comment was powerful, where he said, so often we think God is just trying to get us to conform, when really what he's committed to is unbelievable transformation. If we could only enter the depths of his love, we would find our lives deeply changed. And in the clip, Paul Young shared how a lot of us have to get caught one way or another, and that is a great and terrifying grace. That's what happened with King David. He was confronted by Nathan. I bet that was a terrifying grace. But David didn't hide or justify. He owned up to his sin. And Paul Young also stated, you know, secrets have been killing me my whole life. To heal our shame that is toxic in our lives, we must come out of hiding. We can feel so awful, we don't even want to look at ourselves, let alone, you know, tell anybody. By hiding, we're trying to protect ourselves from the vulnerability of being truly known. But these sins that we keep hiding away just damage us. God seeks open access to those parts of our life that we have chosen to keep hidden. It is difficult, scary, painful to open that door. But the more we avoid it, the worse it gets. The Tuesdays together have been a great time. We had about 45, at least 45 people attending. And then one of the studies is on the book of Galatians. And I so value how Eugene Peterson paraphrased Galatians 5. There's a lot, I had to cut stuff out, but I just want to read to you verses 19 to 21, where he says, it is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex. A stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. Frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness. Trinket gods. Magic show religion. Paranoid loneliness. Cutthroat competition. All-consuming yet never satisfied wants. A brutal temper. An impotence to love or be loved. Divided homes and divided lives. Small-minded and lopsided pursuits. The vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival. Uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions. Ugly parodies of community. I could go on. And the Apostle Paul then states, here's my advice. Live your whole life in the Spirit, and you will not satisfy the desires of your lower nature. The Spirit holds the power to lead us as we submit to Him, revealing to us those things that are dead and rotting. He's able to guide us towards new ways of responding to people and to situations, and to heal us from the inside out. The power to create a new heart, to renew us, comes from God, not from ourselves. In the story, you notice how it was Jesus who did the cleansing. He is the one who can regenerate our hearts and renew us. 1 John 1:9 says, when we confess, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. God takes our hurts, our sins, our failings, and cleans the closet. Munger's story is so nice in that you think, okay, great, it's all done. But, you know, do you find in your own home, when you clean out a closet or a junk drawer, that over time, things creep in there and it just gets filled up again with more junk? As we grow in our faith, as we grow in our home building, as we risk being vulnerable and transparent with God, He will gently reveal all those things that keep getting added, those other places where we need transformation, where we need again and again for Him to cleanse and renew us. Growing and changing is a lifelong process. Healing and recovery is not an event. It's a journey. Like I said, a process. And today, at the end of the service, we want to provide an opportunity for you to come forward for prayer. We've been trying to do this just to have it as a regular habit, as we deeply believe that, you know, praying for one another is important. And sometimes I think people have the idea, okay, well, if I, you know, come forward, make that step, that's it, you know, problem solved. But as I said, this is a journey. As we look at building our home, These aren't things that are kind of like, okay, once and done. They're to be part of our everyday lives. We root our lives in Christ, relying on Him for everything. That cornerstone, as David prayed. We continue to read God's Word, allowing His Word to continually inform us. Conversations with God are to be a daily part of our lives, asking, sharing, listening. And we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to work in us. God wants to be active in our lives, inviting us to participate with Him in restoring all things. J. Stringer notes, God loves to invite us to use our story. The broken family, lack of purpose, lustful, angry, shameful stories to bring personal and communal healing. The story is ongoing. And we can hide things away in the closet, or we can be open, allowing Jesus, through His unconditional love, to bring healing and growth. This message is not just to end here today. So to help facilitate this ongoing process, I'm going to show that entire movie, The Heart of Man. I'm going to show it on Tuesday, November 27th, so you can write this down, at 7 p.m. That'll be just a week after Tuesday's Together is over. And then out of this, I hope to start a community of support. It's a very powerful movie, and I encourage you to invite others to come. We're going to close with the song, Come As You Are. And I want to invite you forward for prayer. Come for anything, not just in response to this message, but maybe for a request for someone else you want prayer for, or any other personal needs. We want to be able to support one another and lift up these concerns to our loving Heavenly Father. Will you pray with me? The words of the song that we're going to sing are, come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. O wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt. Lay down your heart. Come as you are. Heavenly Father, we see that what you want is truth in our inner lives. For when we hide our places of brokenness away from you, it only hinders our lives. Lord, thank you for your faithful love, that you accept us no matter what broken parts there are to our lives. May we come to you, confessing our sin as David did, and receive your grace and healing. And may we realize that we are on a journey to wholeness. Help us to work together in community to support, encourage, and uphold one another, so we truly can live freely and lightly, being a community rooted and grounded in love. I pray this, Jesus, in your precious and holy name. Amen.